Hi, let's take a look at how you can build your first Windows Phone game. Now, this is a very simple project. Doesn't have scoring. All you're going to end up doing is moving an image around and colliding with another one. But these are the basics of simple games. So let's take a look at what we're going to cover. We're going to look at the Visual Studio 2010 Express for Windows Phone Design Environment. We're going to add images. We're going to add code. We're going to use the WinPhone emulator, and we'll investigate variations in coding. Let's talk about the Visual Studio 2010 Express for Windows Phone. And how do we build a Windows Phone game? Your Visual Studio 2010 Express for Windows Phone probably looks like this if you're starting it for the first time. You have your Get Started, which welcomes you and has some overview data that you can go look at. You can also set this up for your to pick up an RSS feed directly from Microsoft so that you can stay up to date with the latest products. Now let's click New Project. Visual C Sharp comes with two simple templates: Silverlight for Windows Phone, which will be covered in a separate video, and XNA Game Studio 4.0. In this one, we're able to create not only Windows Phone games and DLLs or game libraries, but we can also create Windows games as well as Xbox 360 games. We also can create some things called content pipeline extensions, which we'll cover in a later video, and also just a simple empty content project. We'll talk a little bit about content projects later in the video. For now, let's go ahead and call this WinPhone game. And we're going to create a directory. We'll create a directory for a solution and click OK. Now we have a new project that's opened. You notice a little tab over here called Properties. We'll use this in a little bit. And we're going to add initially three images. So I'm going to right-click, Add Existing Item, and I'm going to go to a place that I know has some images I can use. I'm going to use another project that I've been working on for other things. So I'm going to go into here, Collision Example, and into their project content project, and I'm going to select Green Gym, Pink Girl, and Planet Boy. Once I've done this, I'll click Add. And the files will be added to this project folder, project, actually, content project. You'll notice that the file extensions don't have spaces in it. That's just a convention that I use. When these are brought over, an asset is created with an asset name of Green Gem. Now I can change this later if I want to, but initially it's synced to the file name, and I prefer not to have spaces. Next, let's take a look at our integrated design environment, IDE, that we're using. Yours may not look the same as this one. I have Build on mine, and if I look at the tools, I also have something called Code Snippet Manager. You probably don't, but if you do, then you probably have gone to Settings and switched from Basic to Expert. But let's take a look at what the basic settings look like for now. You notice that the build is gone, tools no longer has code snippets, and there's a few other items that are different. So in my projects, I usually use settings, expert settings. Next, let's toggle the outlining. So I right-click. Let me right-click a little further up. Right-click and outlining appears. I'm going to toggle all outlining. It appears my code's disappeared, but this isn't the case. At the top are all my usings. Next, I can click on the toggle for namespace, but that just shows me the next item down, which is the public class that we're working on. So I'm going to click on this toggle button, And I can see all the methods that have been added by default to my class. First of all, let's add some variables. Now I've created some code snippets that I can use to rapidly add code so that you don't have to watch me type it in. So I'm going to type in the first three letters, and you'll notice that the variable has shown up, or the code snippet has shown up with a little torn sheet of paper. I'm going to hit tab twice. This enters the code quite rapidly. I've entered code to store textures and given that space the name T underscore planet boy. T underscore is just a convention. You don't have to use it, but it allows these to appear in my IntelliSense in a manner that I can find them quickly. I do the same thing with rectangles. Now rectangles will hold the textures. And then I have a boolean that I'll use during testing for collision. Next, I need to initialize some of my variables. The rectangles require that I initialize them. So I've created a snippet called rectangles, double tab, and I've entered in my rectangles. So I'm constructing new rectangles for Planet Boy, Pink Girl, and Green Jim at 400x, 400y, 50 height, 50 width. Next, I need to load content, and this content are the textures that re are represented by my images over here. I named my code snippet textures with a lowercase t, and I load my textures. Now, those variables were set to load a texture 2D type of variable. Now, I need to load those assets by using contents.load texture 2D and then the asset name, which is represented here under properties. The default is the file name, but you could change that if you wanted to. Unload content we're not using. Update content we'll use, but I need to add some code snippets that are methods, and these are under a code snippet named methods. See the little torn piece of paper, double tab, and the two methods are added. We'll come back to these and discuss them later in this video. Now, in my update, I'll add the call to these methods. I don't need to use a code snippet because most of the work is done for me via the process of IntelliSense. And you can see that this really speeds things up. Now I need to draw these, so I'm coming down to my draw method. Update and draw occurs once every 30 sec once a 30th of every second, 30 times a second on the Windows phone. Now I need to add my draw code, and we'll come back and discuss this in later in the video. Now I'm going to run my code, and this will take a few seconds for everything to spin up, so to speak, with the phone emulator. This is an actual working phone emulator, Win 7 phone emulator, although the ability to test things like the accelerometer and that kind of thing isn't available because most computers don't have accelerometers on them. So we can see that this compact framework operating system is being built in a virtual space. The Internet Explorer on here works just like it would on a Win 7 phone. And it takes a few more seconds for the game to appear. Now the game has appeared, and if I grab Planet Boy with my mouse, this would be my finger on the screen and moved him around. And then have him collide with Pink Girl, the background will change. Bing! Good. Now, don't close the emulator. Simply go over and turn off or stop debugging your code. That's it. So we'll continue in the next section of this video in discussing the code and some other items that we may want to learn more about. Let's review what we've been working on. Now I slammed down the code using code snippets, and that can make it difficult to understand what exactly we were doing. So let's start off with our texture 2D and rectangle. Here we're creating memory locations for these structures and classes. Rectangle is a strut. Texture is a class. This is a Boolean, and we can use a tool inside of Visual Studio to take us to all the references for this, which will make it easier to navigate. In small projects like this, this may not seem useful, but in larger projects, this becomes very useful in managing your troubleshooting and understanding what the code does. In the draw, we're testing to see if a collision has occurred. This test occurs once 30 times a second. When this Boolean changes to true, the background changes to yellow. But where is this test being performed? Let's find out. This isn't the test, this is the declaration. So the third one here must be the test. And the way we can tell the difference is that if you look, you can see over here some symbols, and the symbols can guide you. Now in our collision test, we're using what is called the intersect, which tests to see if any of this rectangle is in the same intersects as any of this rectangle. So even though Planet Boy was the one we were moving, the test was being done with the static. Now, which one should we use? For this project, probably it wouldn't make any difference which one you used. For more complicated projects, you need to review which uses more resources. Once we've intersected, then we set B underscore collision to true. It's a Boolean, so it can only have two values, true and false. Once this is set, because this variable has visibility in the entire class, it can now be used by other methods. 30 times a second, collision test is run. Boom, 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 boom. And so is handle input multi-touch. Now you could use the mouse component, but it's better to get used to using the multi-touch, and it isn't any more difficult. What you're using is you're going to test the collision of touch locations, and you're going to test if it's been pressed and if it's moved. If it has, then you're going to move Planet Boy to the touch location position X and Y, and that's why we use the rectangle. Now, I also need to convert this float to an integer because the x and y for the rectangle uses an integer. Next, we should take a look at our draw. Again, this is occurring once every 30 times a second. What's happening is that our sprite batch begins. We then draw the texture pink girl inside the rectangle, which has a color white. We do the same for Planet Boy, and we do the same for Green Gem. Now, one way you can save resources is by drawing the object in using this practice, but you could also set this to transparent, and Green Gem will not appear. So let's do that and run a test. Now there's a number of ways that you can learn how to write code, but you All of them include writing code. If you're not comfortable with actually writing code, then, and you're doing this for class, that's okay. There's many components to the profession of software that doesn't require that you write code. So stick with it. You probably do need to learn a little bit about what code is all about. Notice that the green gem disappeared. Now let's go back and turn the code off. Stop debugging. Is the gem actually there? Well, let's do this to Planet Girl and find out what's going on. Now we know that if Planet Boy hits Pink Girl, then the background changes. So let's run the code. You can see that having the emulator turned on is much faster than turning it off each time. Now I'll grab Planet Boy and move him around. You can see that the background hasn't changed, but remember where Planet Girl was? She was right around in here someplace. And aha, even though she's transparent, the collision still occurs, which we would expect because that's just the color of the rectangle. Now in another video later on, we're going to go over in depth each one of these seven types of sprite batch draws, because this is a very important knowledge of this is very important to creating games. But for this one, I thought I would use this as a teaser for a future video. Well, thank you for sticking with the video, and let's review what we've covered. We looked at the Visual Studio 2010 Express for Windows Phone Design Environment and found out that this is referred to as an IDE, or Integrated Design Environment. We also found out that there are two different presentations. There's the basic presentation and the expert presentation. The basic presentation doesn't have code snippet manager, and the build component doesn't have the ability to rebuild a solution from scratch. So we found out that you go to Tools, Settings, and change that to Expert, and those kind of things will appear. We also found out that we've added images to the project, the content project, unlike earlier versions where we added images to a project folder. We saw how to add code and where to add code. We talked about texture, 2D, type of memory, rectangle memory. We used the initialize. We used load content to load our textures. We created two methods and consumed those in an update method. We also used the draw method. We looked at the default code that's contained inside of XNA. We also used the Win phone emulator and found out that it's best to leave the phone emulator running and stop debugging in our code. That'll save us some time. We also did a little bit of investigation on how to introduce variations in our coding and then to review what happens. Thank you very much, and I hope that you found this helpful in your exploration of software.